It's Bucky and Aaron.
You are the one that took a bat to your back of your brother's head, didn't you?
No, my brother took a cut-off broom handle to the back of my head because I took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and smushed it in his face in front of a bunch of older guys, and I thought it was cute, and they laughed and giggled, and I sat on a bench, and he broke the stick, and he came back, and he snuck up behind me and slammed me and knocked me out cold.
He didn't take kindly to that.
He said, well, you think you're going to embarrass me in front of, you know, you're going to be the big shot? He just calmly walked up like a stick, and he slammed in the back of my head. I went out cold, and the guys got two laughs in one day.
Big brother was big brother. Used to be Dame and Biggs, brother. Who was hip-hop, brother? Who was no ID friend? No ID my mentor, and I let the story begin.
Villanova, the Kings of college basketball again. Dante DiVincenzo, the inferno last night for Nova. They win the national championship. Jay Wright atop the college basketball world. What a coach, what a program. What a game. DiVincenzo was incredible last night. And they get the victory there. Also, thanks to Reed Ryan for jumping on, talking Astros. They had a great scene down in Houston last night as they debuted and put out that championship banner, world championship banner. 56 years in, they win the World Series. And it was good to get the update from Reed. Also, we talked about the lady who tased her kid because he didn't want to go to church. I don't know. I'm crossed on that one.
I'm with the lady now. I was with the kid originally. I'm with the lady now. Get up. Get up. You can't call the cops on your mom for that. That didn't bother you.
A couple little dots. I mean, by black letter law, yeah, she assaulted her kid because that's, and he filed the charge. But golly, who among us wouldn't have had their parents arrested when you were a kid if you had called the cops when they smacked you in the rear end?
I had my old man sent to prison for some of the stuff he did to me. You kidding me? My kids are probably saying the same thing. Better not say that too loud. I'll make some phone calls now. Yeah, you can't do that. They really don't like that. They don't really, and it's not nothing to do with millennials. It's just kids. There's other ways to do things besides tasing your kids. You can drag them out of bed by their hair or drag them out by the leg.
That would, by the rule of the law, that would be assault too.
Would it really?
Oh, yeah.
Or hot water or
causing bodily harm.
Yeah, really? All that?
Yeah.
Gut
punch. A lot
of
things that would be,
gut punch
you and I would have considered, you know, little discipline back in the day that would be called, could be seen as assault, no doubt.
They call Child Protective Services on you for that stuff now.
Well, because your kids are, yeah. Well, look, we know there's a line there, right? I mean, I need to see this kid's taser marks, but the police report said there were some small bumps on the leg, but.
Yeah. It's the fact that the mom lies. She just should have told the truth. I tased the hell out of him.
Yeah, I did. I'll do it again.
I'll do it again, too. Open up your mouth, kid. Here you go.
Well, how mad do you think she was that she spent 12 hours in jail on Easter Sunday?
Well, yeah, he's the first person I would call. Can I have a call to my lawyer? Let me call my kid instead and ask him, who's he sleeping with tonight?
Yeah,
where is he
staying? Living?
Where are you going to eat?
Oh,
no,
too
you
much.
Can't do that. I want to be mean, but you can't do that to your kids. There's other ways to handle that. There really is.
Can't do it. All right, we mentioned Villanova. They won all six games by double digits. Carolina in 09, last team to do that. Who was the spear of that team, BK, back in 09, the North Carolina group? Was that the Sean May team?
No, Sean May was 05. That might have been the Ty Lawson bunch.
Yes, Ty Lawson and company. Michigan State did it in 2000. Duke did it in 01. That means you win all your games by double digits. But this is the number for Villanova that's incredible. The last team to win back, you know, their final four games by 16 or more points, which they did by beating Kansas, a one seed, and then Michigan, a three seed, by 16 or more. Last team to do that, UCLA in 1968.
Whoa.
68, that's John Wooden.
Yeah, that's the hot or not question we didn't get to, guys. I mean, you can go outside of the realm of college hoops for this one, but do you remember a more dominant postseason performance by any team in sports? Because they just blew through everyone. You talk about Texas Tech being maybe the team that had the best chance to beat them. But the team that had the best chance to beat them was West Virginia in the Sweet 16. The Mountaineers were up 6 in the second half of that game.
That's true.
And then Nova just went on like a 12-0 run and never looked back. But nobody else was really even that close to competing with what Nova did.
Well, and Michigan gave a valiant first half battle, about 15 minutes worth of it. And then, you know, you saw a Michigan team that hadn't beaten the seed higher than a 6 to get here. This was a new class of team for them, even out of the Big Ten. And you saw that with the depth and just, gosh dang, man. The John Beilein, as you knew he would, came in with a good game plan, and it kind of had Villanova off balance a little bit to start the game. But Jay Wright makes his adjustments, and that's the beauty of it, Buck. He can make the adjustments as a coach, but he's got players who can then execute the adjustment, and he can He's got such versatile players.
Well, yeah, poor Gas can have an off night like last night. When you look at the scores last night and look at the percentage that they shot and look at the one guy that came off.
Yeah, DiVincenzo.
Because they don't win without him. Yeah. I don't know if they even win that game. I know it was 17 and somebody would have come along, but I thought the real dagger was just before halftime when they went up 9 after the great block by DiVincenzo. I thought after that, when they went down and scored a 3-point bucket and it hit 9, I said, well, let's go ahead and go to bed, because this one you can wake up tomorrow and find out that 9 becomes 20 or whatever, or 30, I thought it was going to be so.
No, it was neat to watch, and DiVincenzo's a great young player. It was kind of close to home and personal for us.
Did they lose to Seton Hall?
They lost 4 games.
I bet you they lost to Seton Hall.
They lost at Butler, at Providence, at...
Seton Hall?
No, not Seton Hall. Who am I missing? They lost to St. John's at home.
Oh, that's right.
That was the head scratcher. That was the shocker right there.
Jeez.
To Creighton. They lost at Creighton in Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
And two of those losses were in overtime. And then, yeah, the only one that didn't make sense was
St. John's.
St. John's at home.
Yeah.
What
a bad night.
They beat Duke and Villanova back-to-back in the middle of February out of nowhere. St. Yeah. John's was awful.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right. They beat two number one teams, new one seeds back-to-back. Duke became a two. But
you're talking
about
having an off night, losing to St. John's at home?
Well, they're kids, right? I mean, they're still young people who take a team lightly that comes in winless in Big East play when they got there. And, you know, you got to play on point. When they were at their best, there was no one close. And Kansas found that out because they weren't at their best last night. Kansas saw the best Villanova has, and they got run out of the gym.
If Kansas saw last night's Villanova team,
they had a chance.
Nova would have won, but it would have been a much closer, more intense game than what we got.
Yeah, and you were courtside for both of those, but good stuff. So DiVincenzo, I mentioned that my brother went to Villanova Law School, and they live in Wilmington, Delaware, where DiVincenzo is from, which is, as I always say, it's like driving to San Marcos from Austin. I mean, it's a different state, but it's a suburb of Philadelphia. And DiVincenzo went to the same high school my nephew goes to. It's an all-boys Catholic school called Salesianum. And it is a high, high academic school, but also a high, high athletic school where, you know, they won two state titles. So that kid, you know, next year he'll come back and he'll be one of those preseason All-America type players.
Oh, for sure.
He's going to start, and boy, is he athletic, and the ability to elevate and shoot that jump shot and then go to the rim, really quick and athletic young player.
So I made my first bet as a kid at Delaware, Wilmington,
Delaware Park.
Well, Delaware Park, yeah. That's where my aunt's from Wilmington. All my cousins are from Wilmington. It's just a stone's throw from Bethlehem. So
it's a cool city.
My aunt, I made a $2 bet to win on a number two horse, because I like Secretariat, and it brought me back a bunch of money. My aunt gave me the money. She did not keep the money. She actually brought the money to me.
Yeah, that's funny. I would always say this. You don't want to go to Wilmington for a vacation, but we always go up there. You can stay in Wilmington if you can find a hotel, and you can get anywhere. That's one of the neat things about the fact that they live there, because you're 30 minutes to Philly, you're an hour
right
to
down
Baltimore.
The road from New York.
Oh, two-hour trip out the train to New York, to Jersey Shore.
D.C.?
D.C. is an hour and a half. I mean, we've done some great family trips up there, because we stay at my brother's house and then take little day trips and, you know, take two-day spots and back and forth. It is a central location there in Wilmington, and you do a lot, you know, with your family. So just a little traveling tip there from B&E.
There you go.
Jay Wright, is it Duke 2.0, people are asking? Is this going to be the next power? They certainly could be, because remember, there's not a senior in that lineup, not a senior on that roster. A couple guys, Brunson included, will probably look at the NBA and maybe go, but geez Louise.
Spellman is the one for me. If that guy comes back, and
Spellman, true freshman.
True freshman, and he had a rough night last night.
I don't know. Is he an NBA player in that he's a 6'8 tweener kind of player? I mean,
I think he's got an NBA body.
Sure.
But I think he can use another year to play, because last night he missed some. The nerves got him a little bit, because he had some real close to the basket, like layup type of plays where they went slamming off the rim. He wasn't cool and calm like he was the game before last night. But there were a lot of them that weren't last night. That Michigan defense played well for that first 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's a 40-minute game.
That's what I mean. Yeah, too bad it's a 40-minute game.
Yeah, Spellman and Bridges, two guys that were highly recruited 5- and 4-star players. They could look at the NBA draft. They're both juniors. But as we've said, the last 5 recruiting class rankings for Jay Wright's team have been programmed 28, 45, 29, 48, and 36. They don't recruit top 5 classes, but he knows the type of player he wants to target, and as we've talked about this morning, and BK mentioned, he had 5 of the core players on that team that won the national title. He had them redshirt as freshmen. Yeah, and that's crazy.
DiVincenzo and Spellman, you can build on those two guys alone for another championship.
Well, Pascal's a hell of a player, too. He's just a junior. I think he'll be back for his senior year. Pascal's a stud. Colin Gillespie's a freshman. I mean, they're a good team. All right, we'll talk more basketball coming up. We'll hit our Reliable Automotive Reliable pick of the night before the end of the hour. But let's right now go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. He's one of our favorites. He is the lefty for the Texas Longhorns, one of the greatest pitchers in the history of the program, major leaguer for nearly two decades now, doing a great job on the Longhorn Network, calling Longhorn baseball games, our friend Greg Swindell. Zeke, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Doing good, buddy.
Hey, well, I'm going to start with this. My wife told me to ask you because I mentioned you were coming on. You know, yesterday was a World Autism Awareness Day, and she wanted to know how her friend Dawson's doing, your son. You guys moved to Houston, but she wanted to know how he's doing.
Oh, he's doing great. Yeah, I'm just growing like a weed. He's 6'3 now and 17 years old. We're a size 13 foot.
Nice.
He's eating us out of the house, but doing good. You know, as good as a nonverbal autism kid can be. You know, just as long as we can keep him happy and keep him, you know, because a lot of autistic kids sometimes have gut problems and, you know, they can't speak. So some of them can't speak. So you just have to hit or miss on what you think is wrong with your child, and you know, he has his moments, and we just try to keep him happy. And usually you say when mama ain't happy, nobody happy. Well, when Dawson ain't happy, nobody happy. if he's happy, we're doing our job. So for the most part, he's doing great, and your wife will be really pleased that we're back in Austin now and building a house in Buda. So he is in his second day back at Hayes High School.
Oh, good. Well, okay, then that's awesome. That's thrilled to hear that, that Dawson's back and you guys are back. So, and you're going to be a neighbor here in Buda with us, and that's a good thing. Glad that happened. Zeke, Longhorn baseball, they're 18-12 now. They got the win last night, been kind of a up-and-down year so far with the pitching staff especially. What have you liked about this team, and what do you think the ceiling is on this ball club?
Well, I think they've shown moments of being a real good ball team. When you schedule games with Stanford, who's, what, 3 in the nation, and go on the road to Arkansas, who's in top 5, both those teams are in top 5, and you're going to take your lumps. And that's what Texas did against those guys. And they haven't been consistent all year at one phase of the game. His defense is off, the hitting's doing good, the pitching's off. They just haven't been able to be real consistent, and that's the big thing with them. I've seen times where I think they can hold their own, but for the most part, just looking for that. You know, the starting rotation has been shaky lately. Looking Matt Whalen, like last night, Matt Whalen goes 4 really good innings and all of a sudden loses it in the 5th. That can't happen, even if he is a 4th or 5th starter. They haven't moving runners over. I mean, last night could have been a blowout, but Texas just couldn't move runners over and get them in. All of a sudden, you make a bad pitch, and team's back in the game. So it's just inconsistency for the most part in every facet of the game.
Greg, when you have Fridays like they've been having, the start of the series, and Friday all of a sudden is been tough on them and tough on starters, is it too early to start switching up starters, or if you're managing a team like that, eventually you say, well, listen, you guys aren't getting it done on Friday. Somebody else is going to have to be our starter because we can't keep trying to come back on these Saturdays and Sundays and these doubleheaders and everything else. Yeah, eventually, don't you you want to have that Friday game? You just have to have it sometimes because the weekend is a long weekend.
Yeah, you want to win it for sure. But you also, if you don't, you want your starter. That's why he's there on Fridays. He's
right
there to give you 7, 8, 9 innings so you can save your bullpen for the weekend. Texas got that early in the season from Nolan Kingham. And then, he for some reason, just lost it lately. A lot of it is location, and a lot of it is falling behind hitters. When you fall behind, they're just laying it in there, and the other teams have been hitting it all over the ballpark. So, yeah, that person on Friday is the guy you really need. That sets up your entire weekend. I think Blair Henley and Nolan Keem can be that guy, but they just haven't shown, I guess what you call intestinal fortitude. I mean,
yeah.
In situations, they don't get a call from the umpire, and they've shown a lot of emotion on the mound by not getting that called strike that they thought they should have. And then after that, they just lay a cookie in there, and all of a sudden there's two guys on, and now double in the gap, and you're down three or four. And if you're going to be that Friday guy, you have to be the guy that you got to have balls. You got to go out there and give your team 7, 8, 9 innings every time.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. Longhorns 18-12. They are 6-3 in the Big 12, and they've got a busy week. They go to Whataburger Park tonight, or Whataburger Field in Corpus, to play the A&M Corpus Christi squad. Host Baylor this weekend, who, you know, Zeke, there's a chance to get after this Baylor team. Texas State beat them last night 6-1. They're 13-13. Just got swept by OU. This is one of those moments of the season that if you look at in early April, if Texas can find some of that confidence on the mound and locate better, they can put together a little bit of a win streak here if they can find it.
Yeah, it's one of those weeks where you do look at it where you have five games and really you look at it and go, we should go 5-0 this week. Baylor's not playing like they did early in the season, but Texas isn't either. But they've If they can get ahead early, that's Texas has been able to win when they playing good. They get ahead early, like last night. They got ahead and won the ball game, and they weren't able to do that for a while. But this is the week where you can go 5-0 during this week and start to separate yourself in conference, because you can be 9-3, which is very good for a Texas team lately in conference baseball. And it is that week where a lot you can, in conference wise especially, you can look at it and go, oh, we're 6-6 or we're 9-3. I mean, that's a big difference. So the non-conference game last night, that was good. The going to Corpus is a good team, and I know they have a pitcher on that team that if it's a close game tonight, he's going to come in. His name is Aaron Hernandez. But he throws the ball almost 100 miles an hour. He was hurt last year. So if Texas can get ahead tonight, they might not have to see that guy.
You know, Zeke, when you talked about emotions on the mound, that was very interesting to me. All the years that you pitched in Major League Baseball, you can be an emotional pitcher. You can really be that kind of emotional guy and be pumped up and everything. But when the calls aren't going, does the emotion ever really carry you when you're not getting the calls? I mean, that doesn't seem to work, does it? If you're over emotional about what's been called?
Well, that's when it turns against you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to bottle that in. You can show emotion that you're upset, but you can't let it carry on.
Right.
You want emotion. You want emotion on the mound. You want to be able to use that in your favor, but that's what it is. That type, if you don't let it go, like, believe in yourself. Believe that I didn't get that one. I'm going to make a better pitch this time,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get that call. You got to trust yourself first, and whatever the umpire calls, if he doesn't give you the call, you have to be able to come right back with the same pitch, and you'll probably get it the second time. You can't let it get to you.
Yeah, it's like putting. If you think you're going to get pissed off and be upset on the putting green and stomp off and be mad, it generally doesn't work the next time you get on the green.
Tough guy in golf doesn't work.
No.
I mean, pitching is a lot like golf in that way. I mean, if you haven't played a lot, if you haven't pitched a lot, but you do play golf, I mean, you get a couple bad breaks and your ball, you know, that you hit a good shot and it ends up taking a bad bounce. Those things happen, and you've got to play through them and not let it destroy a round or destroy a hole. And that's the same way a pitcher has to approach each and every pitch. Greg Swindell is with us. You see him on the Longhorn Network doing great work. And Greg, we haven't talked since the passing of Augie Garrido, and you know, they're going to have a memorial for him on Monday at the Irwin Center. It should be a packed house. And I wanted to give you and Keith a lot of credit, and your crew at LHN, for the work y'all did that weekend. I mean, it was really, really great coverage. I wanted to ask you this, that, you know, you played college baseball. You played 20 years in Major League Baseball almost. And you met so many people in and around the game that were unique. What made Augie so unique? That's what I loved listening to you and Keith talk about, it, because both of y'all know so many people in the game, yet even among all those people, Augie stood out.
Every time you talk to him, it was, regardless of talking about baseball or just life, he always said something new, something different. How do you put it? He was just he would think things through, and whether it be on the baseball field, like I said, or in life, he simplified it, but in a way where you're like, wow, that's pretty profound what he just said. But he said it in my terms, and that's the way he could talk to the president of the United States, or he could talk to your second baseman and be able to get his point across in the way that only Augie could. And I tell a story about whenever I was in Omaha, and Augie had just broke the record for most wins ever, and he was talking to Keith, and we were all sitting there, and Augie had a little party for the you know, breaking the record, and Keith Moreland believed this guy. Keith was talking to him, and they were going back and forth. And Keith can be pretty profound, too, because he knows a lot about the game and a lot about what's going on. And I just watched and listened for 30 minutes. And afterwards, I was asking them if I could have some of the stuff that they were on. I was thinking that, wow, you can't talk like this and like be normal. And then I went, if Keith Moreland believes in what this man is doing, I'm going to believe in what this man is doing. And that's the way it is with everybody. Augie just always, when you met him, regardless of the first time or the 50th time, he always had something to say when you left him, like, wow, that was that. And that's why he made such a big difference, and why he has made a big difference in a lot of people's lives, not just ball players, everyone that he talks to. He leaves you with something positive.
Well said. Well said. Hey, Greg, we appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk throughout the year, baseball seasons here, Major League and the Longhorns, and we appreciate the visit this morning.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right, there's Greg Swindell, doing great. And glad he's moved back to Buda, because he had moved back to Houston for a little bit. And at the beginning of that story, I mentioned National World Autism Awareness Day. His son, Dawson, has autism, and my wife works in that field and knew Dawson well all through his growing up. And glad that he's back, going to Hayes High School, where my kids go to high school.
Good stuff.
It's very cool. And the Augie stories are legendary. And that's funny, because, you know, you just get around baseball people. Maybe it's like football coaches, too, Buck, that there are just some people that – you know, they're going to be the same time every, you know, they say the same things all the time. They're just the same person. They're genuine. They're great people. But that is true about you, Augie. That's unique, that whenever you talked to him or met him, there was something different.
There was something enlightening in every story, I mean, that he told. Once in a sit down with him, there was going to be something he'll say that would be enlighten you. That's just the way he was, no matter what. You're going to get something different.
You think you're just making small talk with a guy.
Sure.
But Augie didn't really do small talk that much.
No.
He'd always have something like that. But great to hear from Greg. We've invited Greg out to the Horn Bash. He's going to let us know if he can come out. I want Greg to maybe be a barbecue judge for our barbecue cook-off. If he's going to be living in Buda, we'd love to have him. And he's letting us know how his schedule fits. But we'd love to have Greg. And I think Brooks Kieschnick is efforting to make his way up from Corpus for the Horn Bash on Saturday in 2 weeks. And, you know, in addition to being out there for all the fun, we'll have the Longhorn game on. Longhorns will be playing at Oklahoma that day, that night, 8 o'clock. So, you know, we'll be done with the Horn Bash by the time the Longhorns get going. Horn Bash will end about 7 o'clock on Saturday night. They're at Buck's Backyard in Buda, so get all the info at hornfm.com. All right, this is an interesting text on our Specs text line. It says, just saw this on Twitter. Just been told that security staff at Augusta National have been handed a sheet with a list of sayings that are prohibited, and I'm told dilly dilly is one of them. Patrons who shout out the phrase dilly dilly will be removed immediately.
Dilly dilly.
Well, duck sausage is not on that list.
Hey, yeah, is
right
duck
now.
Sausage on that list?
Nope. I got to hear it. Come on.
Duck sausage.
Believe me, there are people from this area that are headed out to the Masters. My son goes just about every other year.
If you were to go to the Masters and on Sunday when Tiger's in the mix or Jordan, and we hear a duck sausage or Pam Cummings.
My goodness. Duck sausage has got to be there sometime.
Can you imagine if someone yelled out, Pam Cummings?
Duck sausage!
But you
no,
can't
they
say
probably
dilly
can't.
Dilly,
you probably can't say duck sausage because they would think of duck hook, and that'd be it. You'd be thrown out.
All right, we will be back. It's B&E on the Horn. We'll continue the conversations and the recap of last night's championship game. BK, I'll hand things off to Wags. BK, have a good show on the midday show coming up.
Award-winning.
Award-winning. And yes, BK was winning last night. He was front row, right in the media section for the championship game all weekend long. So we'll have his insights and thoughts on the Nova win and the championship there. That's more coming. We'll roll on. Plus our reliable automotive reliable pick of the night. We'll hit that as well. It's Beanie. B&E with you. Thank you to Greg Swindell. Mentioned he's building a house in Buda, moving back. Remember, speaking of Buda, Chad and Kevin and myself will be at Reliable Automotive in Buda tomorrow for a Hornbash ticket drop. We're going to be out there giving away free Hornbash wristbands every 15 minutes or so. Plus, the guys at Reliable, Brad and the crew, Big Shane, are going to fire up the grill and cook some burgers and dogs and cold drinks. And while we're out there, how about this? $45 for a synthetic oil change and 35% off any and all service while we're there. Get your car in. That's a great opportunity to save some money and build a relationship, meet the great folks at Reliable Automotive, and win some Hornbash wristbands. That's Reliable Automotive, 3420 FM 967 in Buda. It's right there past the Sonic and right before you get to the YMCA there in Buda. Great people. This guy on the Specs text line says, I almost got thrown out of Dell match play. Got caught yelling Pam Cummings after Rory hit. He thought I was talking about his wife again.
Wow.
See, that's a knife. Oh, the Masters tees off Thursday. And look, Buck, I found a picture of this golf shirt. So Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods playing in a practice round today, which is, you know, catching all the headlines. We watched some of, they were showing some of the highlights on SportsCenter this morning. And it's Phil and Tiger and Fred Couples and Tomas Peters. And I've never seen this. Like, Phil's wearing like a button-down dress shirt. I've never seen a golfer wear that before. Have you ever seen that?
I've seen shirts like that with the long sleeves, but I never saw it all the way buttoned down. It was generally a pullover kind of shirt.
I would be grabbing my arms. I mean, he's playing golf, and it's got a sponsor on it.
Tiger's out there with his non-collared shirt again.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the blade collar from Nike.
He's pretty lucky that somebody from the Masters, Augusta, doesn't come and tap him on the shoulder and say, Tiger, we need you to change and put a collared shirt on. This is how we do it here at the Masters.
Well, he looks like a golfer at least. Phil looks like he's selling insurance or something. He's got black pants and like a button-down dress shirt. It's like, what are you doing?
Does he got that monster belt buckle on today?
Yeah. He looks like he's coming from
to the rodeo?
And Phil's
his hair's all long. And is he going to get that hair cut before Thursday?
Well, that's the trend these days, to have that hair that you can see out the bottom of the cap. You know, that's the look these days. But Tiger's looking fit and trim. And
the kid from UT the
Phil's
other day.
Looking a little frumpy.
Had a visor on. I haven't seen a guy wear like a regular visor in forever.
Bo Hostler?
Bo Hostler had this big, huge, and it was one of those flat-billed, old-time visors.
Like a big visor. I have one
of
those.
It was a huge visor that he had on the other day.
I wear one of those sometimes because when it gets real sunny, I don't want the sun on, you know, you want to keep the sun off.
What, like the poker lady visors?
Yeah, oh yeah,
that big.
Not that big. Oh, he had a big one on.
It's large.
He's a big dude.
Bo Hostler, but he's lost a lot of weight since he was a young, pudgy kid at UT. He's down pounds, you can tell.
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't
remember when he was like a freshman at UT or hadn't even enrolled yet and he was like in contention at the US Open. He was a big kid.
He's still a big kid now.
Oh, but he's lost some poundage. Phil Mickelson has not. And he's wearing a business shirt. That's weird. It's just weird to me. But who hasn't?
New like styles coming out show. With the new styles.
That's not going to be a style. I mean, Tiger's blade collar is going to be a style and a thing. Phil wearing the insurance salesman shirt is not going to be a thing. Won't be a thing.
It looks like he forgot to pack his stuff, didn't he? And maybe he was supposed to just wear that out somewhere. He didn't bring his gear like he left some of that stuff back in Houston.
Well, maybe he's going to wear it to the Masters dinner tonight. Sergio Garcia will be hosting the Masters dinner where they all wear their green jackets.
To any of our friends that are out there, I wear a medium. And this is not shameless plug. This is that I need to get a Masters shirt. So while one of you guys are out there probably listening online there, I'm a medium. E. Hogan wears a medium also, so we don't mind. I love that Masters shirt that they have out there. So bring that on back to Austin, Texas, USA, America, please.
This guy says UT golfer, he's wearing an Asian ladies tour visor. No disrespect.
Wow.
No disrespect.
Man, that thing was big, though. It was. You didn't see it, E, on Sunday? You didn't recognize that? That son of a gun was huge, like an umbrella.
That's big.
On
he's
his
trying
head.
To keep it off his face, you know?
Oh, there's Sergio with his lovely wife. And he doesn't have the green jacket on, BK. He's not wearing that.
Here it is. We have the menu for tonight's Masters dinner. Or exactly, it's called the Champions Dinner at the Masters. All the champions and past champions now include Sergio Garcia.
Quesadillas.
Menu announced this morning. Garcia chose Arroz Caldoso de Bogavante.
That's rice and what?
Traditional Spanish lobster and rice. Lobster and rice.
No, no pollo?
Caldoso.
No pollo in there?
De Bogavante. Followed by, you're going to have Spanish lobster with rice, followed by his wife Angela's
I told you,
cake.
Here it comes.
Cake. Yeah, her favorite, what is that, tres leches cake?
She is the boss up in here.
And some Spanish wines.
She's got to be the boss. I never heard anybody's wife have their own special. Does she go to the dinner? She doesn't get to go to the dinner. It's all the dudes, right?
No, don't believe so.
So I've never heard a wife's selection on the menu.
Well, it's nice of her. It's her favorite cake, and he thinks they'll like it. So, and she's probably making it for everybody.
Tiger special was the Perkins number one. When he was there.
He gave her the old number two.
Oh, I'm cracking myself up today. I'm funnier than any woman out there. I'm just cracking myself up this morning.
All right, let me see this. So excited to host my first champions dinner. I hope everyone gets to enjoy the food. Can't wait to sit around and tell great stories. That's from Serge. Masters Club dinner.
Okay, let's get
international
it
salad.
Okay.
The traditional Spanish lobster and rice, and then Angela Garcia's cake.
Had to get his wife's name in there.
How do you say that? Tres leches? Trace?
Tres. Trace Leach's cake. Is that what it is? No?
I don't know. But that's the dinner club. That's what they're having tonight on April the
3rd. Does that mean three-layer cake?
Sorry,
Trace Leach. Is that three layers?
Thank you,
yeah, thank you very much. You're probably right.
Listen, I'm down with the lobster.
Tiger will not
be. Dude's serving lobster.
Fond of not having chicken tonight.
What do you mean?
Or collard greens or whatever.
What are you, Fuzzy Zeller now? I don't think Tiger served that.
How drunk was Fuzzy Zeller that day?
Oh, he was in the bag.
He was in
good.
The bag, wasn't he?
Wax, can you find that for us when we come back?
That dude had
Fuzzy
to be
Zeller
in the back
in the day because Bucky just likes to hear it.
When I heard that, I was like, my jaw kind of dropped when I heard that for the first time.
Yeah, and he had a cocktail glass in his hand on the rocks, baby. Hold the water.
even moi said, that's kind of inappropriate there, Fuzz.
Yeah, Mr. Inappropriate. Fuzz?
Yeah, like Fuzz. That's not cool.
You really can't.
Say that about my man Tiger.
Oh, the date and time. I mean, at the Augusta National.
How many years ago was that? Well, how many years ago do you think that was?
20. It was like 10, I think.
No, it's 20. I mean, this is 1990, late 90s, right? Or 2000 ish.
Was that about 20 years ago? No.
When Fuzzy Zeller got in. Oh, yeah. I mean, if Fuzzy was. Everybody loves Fuzzy. Fuzzy's just a jokester.
Oh, yeah. He was a real comedian that day. When he's talking about chicken and collard greens, that was real funny. Yeah, even I dropped the jaw on that one. I was like, no, Fuzzy did not go there one time.
The little boy's driving it well, he's putting well, he's doing everything it takes to win. So you know what you guys do when he gets in here? Pat him on the back, say congratulations, enjoy it, and tell him not to serve fried chicken next year. Got it.
didn't he go like, he snapped his fingers? Did he say
he walked away? He did his.
He screams back and collard greens or whatever the hell.
And give him the end of that, Wags, and collard greens. That sounds like.
I didn't hear the collard greens part at the end.
Oh, yeah, you did. Then 1997, by the way.
97.
Yeah.
Or collard greens or whatever the hell they serve.
They serve. And did he come early with that little boy?
Yeah, give us that again. Give me Fuzz.
Give me the beginning.
Pretty impressive. Little boy's driving it well, he's putting well. He's doing everything it takes to win. So you know what you guys do when he gets in here? Pat him on the back, say congratulations, enjoy it, and tell him not to serve fried chicken next year. Got it.
Right. Or collard greens or whatever the hell.
Oh, damn, Fuzzy. That was all. That I did. I dropped my jaw on that first time.
Man.
Wow. Oh, the PC police would have just what would they have done now? They would have just.
When was that, 97?
97.
My God.
21 years ago now. All right, we'll be back. We'll get a reliable automotive, reliable pick of the night. That'll never not be cringeworthy.
Wow.
At Augusta National, the stodgy club that it was and is. And
Fuzzy threw one of those.
Southern Fuzzy. We'll be back.
Old little boy out there.
I saw an interview, by the way. David Faraday did a sit-down with Fuzzy Zeller, and he still says that was a crushing moment for him because he fought for civil rights, and that was the opposite of his character. But obviously he said it. I mean, it's hard to... Hard to mask it.
Hey, don't let the drinks, don't let that booze get a flowing up in there.
Yeah, how many whiskey sours did he have? Oh,
a couple on the rocks, no doubt.
He had one in his hand at the time.
I know. I know. We'll be back. Beatty on the Horn.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
All right. Talking Masters and Sergio Garcia's wife's cake. Tres Leches cake. Three milks. Three milks, Buck.
Oh, it's three milks.
Three milks.
Leches is milk?
Leches is milk, yes. Thank you.
Good try there. Wags on your Spanish. I should know that because
hey, I failed Spanish at UT. Well, I had to go to German.
Oh, my goodness. Trace, right?
Yeah.
And then
three and milks. Leeches.
Leeches. Don't eat leeches. Oh, boy. All right, so a lot to do. We'll make our Reliable Automotive Reliable pick of the night. You know, NBA took the night off last night as the NCAA had their championship game, but they come back in full force tonight. Also, Longhorn baseball in action tonight at Corpus Christi. Heard Greg Swindell this hour tell you that if they get to a kid named Aaron Hernandez tonight, if the game's close, meaning Corpus has a chance to win it, which would be big for them, a kid named Aaron Hernandez may see the bump, throws 100 miles an hour for A&M Corpus. So we'll be watching that tonight and paying attention. Also, baseball this evening, Astros send Justin Verlander to the mound. In the 8 o'clock hour, we talked to Reed Ryan, highlighting and recapping their opening night in Houston. What a conversation we had with him. They're going to hand out the rings tonight to the ballplayers and the coaches, which will be pretty fun. They debuted the banner and the pennant last night, which was pretty darn cool. Also, Buck, we had a lot of fun today. You've made the claim that women are not funny.
Yeah, I went over there and told our boss just now.
That, what'd she say?
And she said, well, you're just afraid you'll get fired, just like I said. See, that's all. That's what I said. She's
so,
not
like, you think professional comedians who have scripted stuff can be funny and that,
yeah, that women that
some
way can
professional
be
women could be funny, but... Like, you didn't think Kelly Ripa show is on out here.
She's not funny.
Regis and Kelly. You say she's not funny?
She's not funny at all.
I think she's pretty funny.
I think Judge Judy is funny as hell. Every time
she
I see her,
funny.
I start
I
just cracking up.
I'm with you
the
on that.
The way she talks to people. She's funny. And, you know, Medea is funny.
That's a guy.
I know, but that's why she's funny. Mrs. Doubtfire's funny. Oh, Mrs. Doubtfire's a guy too, huh? That's why she's funny.
But that's a professional.
But I mean, women in general just aren't funny.
That's not true.
I'm serious. You jump
I know
into
a lot of funny women.
Don't jump into a gaggle of your wife's friends. You may just ha ha just for the sake of that they know you're there, but they're not really funny. Women aren't funny people, and I'm not saying
well,
that's
maybe
a bad thing.
Their kind of humor is not for you, but in their own circle, they're funny. Like I'm sure there are funny people that are with the female conversation.
Somebody said that I'm just not around the right women that are funny.
It's true. I think that's right, too.
Probably, but I just don't find you people very funny. You know, you people.
Oh, you people. What are you, Fuzzy Zeller over there?
Sorry about
Fuzzy
that.
Fuzzy Godbolt.
You people aren't that funny. Hey, and that's good. I don't like my ladies to be funny. I'd rather for them not to have
you
a
like
great...
like them to be?
I like for them to be bland and just kind of plain Jane.
Where do you like them to be?
Where do I like them to be funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's times to be funny and there's times that they shouldn't be funny. And most women... Does your wife have funny friends?
Yes.
How about Wagador?
She's got a few, but I mean, I have some of the best laughs of my life with my wife, though.
See?
Well, you got to say, she's your wife, you got to say that.
No, I mean,
you can't say that she's not.
Like, I wish she would watch a lot more sports, don't get me wrong, and I know she's listening right now, but yeah.
Dude, half the time when your wife says something, you walk off to the bedroom going, damn.
No doubt.
I wish she wouldn't have said anything.
No doubt. Play.
Right?
She's the leader of the house, I ain't going to lie.
That's all. That's why you're saying that now. And her friends really ain't funny.
There are some funny friends of my wife. My wife's funny, too.
No, your wife has a great sense of humor. And I'm telling you, she's got a dry sense of humor. And when she says stuff, it'll make you chuckle.
That's right.
But her damn friends, they ain't that funny.
Well, there's some that aren't. I'll give you that. There are some that are not funny at all.
And when you're there?
I can't put a general blanket statement like you. Not
but you,
all of
do
them.
You giggle, though, just to make it seem like...
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. Good job.
Hey, Reliable Automotive, reliable pick of your night. We told you the NBA took the night off because of the championship game, but how about tonight, Buck?
And if you didn't take advantage of that last night, I think Vegas must have taken a bath last night.
Well, the TV ratings were down because the game was such a blowout. We both took Villanova and the points, and obviously they were fine. They won by
with all the baseball talk, I'm going Major League Baseball, and I'm taking my New York Yankees over the Phillies. Are you seriously? I'm
with
not
Gabe Kapler.
The Gabe Kapler guy. You know, I'm not going to take advantage
He'll
of that.
He'll go to the bullpen early. Captain Kapler, Captain Hook. Not good. How about this, though? In the NBA, okay, so you're taking the Yankees.
It's Homer. Minus 113.
Who's pitching? It's back to the opening day starter. So you've got Luis Severino on the mound tonight, I believe.
Y'all need to take the Astros.
I'm in.
Well, of course. They're going to be
well, there are four. They're pretty damn good. You know, the Astros haven't had a save situation yet this year. I mean, they're terrific. But they'll put Justin Verlander on the hill tonight, making his first start at home this year. He beat the Rangers up in Arlington last week to open the season.
Now, Washington's crushing it.
Yeah, they are. Bryce Harper.
Oh, man, that group.
They're looking good. And I'll mention this, NBA. How about this tonight, Buck? Raptors are at Cleveland. That's a great game in the East. You got the top team against LeBron James. That line's a point and a half. Warriors, the banged-up Warriors, are at Oklahoma City. Play the Thunder. I think Kevin Durant will be back unless he gets ejected from that game. So it'll be Kevin Durant and his
like
old buddy
OKC
there, Russell
home,
Westbrook.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this? Rockets host the Wizards out of Washington tonight. Rockets, Mike D'Antoni's trying to crack the whip a little bit. They seem to get a little complacent now that they've locked up home court throughout. Lost to the Spurs in a bad way on Sunday. Only scored 83 points. Mike D'Antoni didn't like that. And the Spurs at the Clippers tonight. At the Clippers. Big game in the West. Clippers still trying to fight for that final playoff spot. That'll be a good game. So really good night in the NBA, good night in baseball. Longhorns are at A&M Corpus, and you're taking the Yankees.
I got the Yankees tonight.
I'll take the Astros.
Home run call, Bryce Harper. He goes yard tonight.
Ooh, you're calling Bryce Harper with a long ball?
Oh, yeah. Dong call.
He's got a couple
Dong
of those.
Dong call.
He's got a couple of those already, doesn't he?
He does. He's like BK said, he's either going yard or he's walking. He's always on base, seeing the ball well.
Love that guy.
He's going to get a huge contract this offseason.
He's got great numbers against Tehan.
All right, we're back tomorrow. Have a great one. Trey and BK are next. The award-winning program with the Golden Stapler. Rod Babers with the Rodcast this afternoon. He'll take you behind the burnt orange curtain and other places. Chad and Kevin lead you right up to Longhorn Baseball at A&M Corpus. Get those Hornbatch wristbands at hornfm.com. And remember, we're giving them some bunch away tomorrow out at Reliable Automotive in Buda. So make your plans now to be with us for that. Dodge the raindrops tonight. 40-60% chance of rain this afternoon and into this evening. Take your umbrella, but have a good Tuesday. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com.